All right, welcome back, everyone. We're continuing on. I'll wait for that background noise there, but we're continuing on. This is the Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio show. I'm Stephen Roberts, the second hour. I've called a friend, and he's graciously accepted to come on. So I wasn't sure how long Kevin was going to do, but I brought a local man up. He's a former radio show host himself in the area here, in my area. He's a researcher and an activist and an all-around great guy. His name is David Frank, so welcome back to the show, David.
Hey, Steve, good to be with you. How you doing?
All right. I just wonder what that background noise was there a minute ago. It sounded like a hurricane hit your house, maybe.
I dropped my camera.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, that was a good program you had on. I enjoyed listening to that guy in your first hour there.
Yeah, Kevin. He's up there, and he's a Canadian from British Columbia, and he's been fighting this. He's been fighting these pedophiles for more than 20 years now, I guess. So maybe we'll see if he can help bring them down. I'd like to.
It seems sort of like a symptom of our society today, you know, but I've always believed that if you have a dysfunctional system, you'll have a dysfunctional society. And it seems like pedophilia and all this other stuff is just sort of a symptom today. And I think we have to change the system so it functions, you know, it's so dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Nothing seems to work anymore.
Yeah. I just seen that message you sent to me there that I don't know how long ago it was, but you mentioned a guy from Oregon. It sounds a lot like what you've been pushing. Is that what?
Yeah. I was watching a video before I came on and he was sounding like me, because I think that the fix is in our communities. It's not in Washington or state capitals.
I think if
everybody fixes their own little piece of America, the next thing we know, America will be fixed.
Was his first name Paul? Paul Sanfuego?
Right, right.
That's okay, yeah. I'm actually trying to get him on, so I don't know. Are we going to talk about your system?
I'd love to.
Yeah.
I think people are ready.
Give us a little bit of a background first, a little bit of a refresher history, if you'd like.
Sure. I became an activist about 25 years ago when I first heard about NAFTA, and I realized that the people in charge were intentionally sabotaging the greatest, most productive country on the planet and ruining jobs. And back then, Perot was absolutely right when he said, we're going to hear this big sucking sound, and they've sucked the jobs right out of our country and given them to slaves in other countries. And that's after we had the Civil War where, you know, we tried to get rid of slavery, but apparently the people in Washington think slavery is a pretty good thing. So anyway, they destroyed the jobs, which has destroyed the economy. And crime is running rampant now. And the lawyers are laughing all the way to the bank, especially the lawyers that made these stupid laws. And, you know, we've turned our penal system, our penal system into a 21st century concentration camp. And it's just Nazi Germany all over again. But anyway, I was doing a radio program 25 years ago called Stand Up America, where I was telling my listeners that the politicians don't have the answers for you. The people have the answers for themselves. And I was explaining that we now have the communication technology that we've never had before. And that we could use that technology so that we could watch issues that affect our lives right over our televisions. Right now they're being used to program us to be oversexed and overviolent. Use them for something constructive, like hearing issues that, you know, ideas that we think can make our community better, debating those ideas, and so that people are educated on these different ideas, these issues. And then people can vote with any touch-tone phone. The goal is to build a community database that has your ID number and PIN number. So when you watch an issue over the TV or the radio You can vote with any touchtone phone. Your call will go into a community computer that will verify you with an ID number and PIN number, ask what issue number you'd like to vote on, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, and count your vote, block you out from voting more than once. And we can now have decisions made by the people as opposed to these politicians who we know have, you know, sold their souls. And we can now have a 21st century system where it's truly of the people, by the people, and for the people. So that's what that's a little of the history, and that's where we're at now.
Yeah, that's speaking of Paul Cienfuego, I think a little bit of it, of his concept over there in Oregon, and he's taken it to at least 9 other states as they get to the local level and then pass some legislation at the local level that blocks any kind of state or federal action that that the state or the feds tried to take.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. That was the intent of the Constitution. The Constitution was an attempt 235 years ago to give the people a voice, to limit the federal, state, and local government, and let the people decide what role they wanted the federal, state, and local government to play in their lives. And what this technology does, and bringing it into the local level, it gives the people in your community a real voice to decide if they think income tax is fair, or property taxes are fair, or sales taxes are fair, or fishing licenses, or whatever it is. And when you give the people a voice and they start getting rid of these weeds that are, you know, killing their livelihood, then all of a sudden, you know, we can start building the kind of community that we want for ourselves and our families. But we can no longer rely on our representatives because they don't represent us. You know, if they don't communicate with you, they can't represent you. And I'm 65 years old now. I've never been asked my opinion on any issue. They don't represent me. I have no voice, and no one else does either, unless they're part of the party or a corporation that's paying them bribes. And so now we have the technology. We can hook it up in every community and let the people start deciding what role they want their federal, state, and local government to play in their lives. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it I guess maybe it sounds a little bit similar to Kevin Annette's story over there. And I think he's in Holland. Yeah, that's where it was. That's where the ITCCS is. It was founded. It's a citizen court. I guess I should have asked if it was a more like a common law court. And I think it probably actually is when you get right down to it. Basically, the people taking back their power is the only way that we're going to get anything done around here.
That's right. That's right. Well, you have no representation. I mean, your voice represents who you are, how you feel about the different issues. If these people aren't hearing your voices, they're not representing you. And yeah, we've got to do it from the ground up, not the top down. Top down systems benefit the people at the top. That's why, you know, I looked it up. My gas company and my electric company the other day, those two CEOs of those two energy companies that I'm overpaying for combined are making $15 million a year. Now, I don't know what these guys are doing that warrants $15 million, but the way I see it, you get money one of three ways. You either
they're probably
earn it, you inherit it, or you steal it. And I don't think they're earning it. I don't think they're really inheriting it. And I mean, that's just, and they're sitting on each other's boards voting for each other to have these obscene incomes while we're all overpaying for this stuff. And once we have a voice in our community, we can start coming up with our own ideas for energy in our community and, you know, healthcare and whatever it is, education. But until we have a voice, we have absolutely nothing. And that's what we're doing. We're pushing a plan where we use our local issues channel. Public broadcasting is going to be turned into our local issues TV and radio channel. We want it to actually broadcast to the public, And we're going to let the people come up with ideas to make their community better. We're going to debate them and vote on them and implement them. And when we find things that work in our community, we'll share it with 999 other communities around the country. And when they find things that work, they share it with us, and we start rebuilding America from the ground up with a solid foundation, not like we have now. Our foundation blocks are deteriorating because they've imposed these tax systems on our communities that have sucked the cash right out of our communities. That's why the economy is bad. There's no cash. It's just like an engine without oil or a body without blood. You can't function. And we need cash in our community so we can barter with each other. And they've sucked the cash out. And we're, like I said, we're like an engine without oil, man.
Yeah. What they've actually done from a lot of people's research, David, is they take 7 out of 10 dollars that comes into the county, and it gets put into for the lack of a better word, sucked into offshore bank accounts from the second book that they run. They run two books all over the world. Each community does it. States run two books. The feds run two books. Banks run two books. That's how they can launder money.
The mafia ran two books.
Yes. That's where they learned it from.
That's what this is. This is just organized crime.
That's where they learned it from.
That's all it is. That's what organized crime was. It was a top-down system. That's what this is. This is a top-down system. And the police have their own little organized crime syndicate, and the judicial system has its, and the penal system has its. And the highway department has it. And that's why you've got to use technology to start exposing this stuff and cleaning it up and getting things so that, you know, our communities start to work again.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. How is your struggle going along trying to get something done at the city hall?
Things are good. We've got a real strong group here. We call ourselves People Uniting for Better Government. And the goal is to, you know, the goal line is to set up the communication technology in our communities. But one of the issues that we're really opening the door with is this police brutality that's going on in our community, and it's going on in communities around the country. And, we're the people that pay for our police department. They've gone from peace officers to law enforcement officers. Sounds very much like Nazi Germany to me. I think it should be the people that decide what role their police department starts to play. And, the administration is turning a blind eye to the things that are going on in the police department. So many of these guys, I guess what they're doing now is they're recruiting from people that have been in the military, you know, these people that have been programmed to kill or be killed. And we're putting them out on our streets against the citizens paid for with our money. These guys are not being tested for steroids. And everybody and their brother knows that steroid use is running rampant on the police department.
Well, they're not even being tested for mental stability either, though, David.
No. And most of them have mental instability because of this is the buzzword now. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. And you don't only get that from being in the military. You can get that from being a policeman, or you can get it from being, you know, in a, you know, whatever situation.
You can get it from being a mom.
Being a mom. But these guys, there are a lot of people now on the police department that have this post-traumatic stress disorder. They need help, but we don't want to finance them to give us tickets and kick our asses. And that's what they're doing now. They're out, enforcing the laws, collecting more taxes like the Roman tax collectors did. And if we, they've got these mental conditions going where they're just waiting to just whoop somebody's ass. So what we want to do is we want to give the people in our community a real voice and let the people start deciding what kind of police department they want. And on top of that, I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook where the federal government is handing out 13,000 military vehicles around to communities around the country. Is that what we, the people, really want in our communities? We want these police coming after us in military vehicles? That's about as unconstitutional as you could ever get.
Yeah. Well, David, what I just what just boggles my mind is the police don't get it. The average police officer, they just don't seem to get it. They accept all this money from the federals or from the federal agencies. They accept all this training. They accept all this equipment, and then the feds go home. They're going to be the ones that are left around here when the crap hits the fan and all hell breaks loose. They're going to be the ones that are going to get the brunt of the assault, and they just don't seem to get it.
The people that run the world, they don't care. They've used these pawns just like they're using them over to fight their wars, and they don't really care. You know, the people that run the world. This is all, you know, if they control the money, they control all the pieces on the of the game. And you know, you're right that the police are going to get hurt, but citizens are going to get hurt. And that's not the way to do it. I mean, these guys, they're being paid to do what they're doing. That's the only reason they're there. They're being paid. And if all of a sudden we as a community decide we don't want to pay these particular people, because these particular people have some real issues and we don't want to confront them, you know, out on the street. And we, like I said, we've got to get back to peace officers. And that's what we wanted these cops for originally, to keep the peace, not to give us tickets and to beat our asses. That's but it's time to ask the people what we want. That, I mean, I'm just talking for myself. I remember when cops used to be nice people. These guys are scary today. I mean,
I do too.
And we know that steroids is that's a mind-altering drug.
I do too. I remember when they were nice guys too.
Yeah, and they were out to help you, but these guys are out to punish you. And I don't think we want to use our tax monies to be punished.
Well, like you happen to mention, they've been brainwashed at the military level, and all the military does is. Well, my cousin spent 33 years there, and he said that he told me that boot camp was supposed to break you down, break the.
Yeah, they mentally break you down and then build you
up
to be one of their little fighters. That's what you are. You're a fighter.
That's exactly.
And when you come back after, especially after you've been traumatized by seeing your friend's head blown off, you're not the same person. But it's not that we should be against them. I mean, these people really need some help, and they need some jobs where they are not, you know, in a situation where they're going to do harmful things to we as a society. We sent them and we paid for them to protect us, not beat us. And, you know, look at these guys today. They're like walking fortresses. They can beat you up with a club. They can electrocute you. They can kill you. You know, they're protected. And what do you, you know, a 58-year-old man, 150-pound guy, was just put in a coma here in South Bend a couple weeks ago, over a traffic stop. And his 70-something-year-old mother, got thrown down and beat up and thrown in jail because she was trying to stop this cop from killing her son, and this is after the guy, the cop, tased him. I mean, this is Nazi Germany stuff. This is, you know, it's happening everywhere.
Nothing will come of that, I imagine, huh?
No, because the administration turns a blind eye. That's the they're working for the administration. If the administration's as corrupt as the rest of the police department, who? You know, look at Mexico. You think Mexico is ever going to clean itself up? The administration's just as bad as the cops.
Yeah, and
that's what a corrupt system is. Where everybody, I mean, you know, there are corrupt politicians in your community. There are corrupt politicians in my community. Who do you tell? The corrupt politicians. It's like going to Al Capone and saying, hey, you know, there's prostitution out there on the street, or drugs, or, you know, or gambling. You ought to do something about it. What do you mean do something about it?
I am doing something about it. I'm raking in the money. What are you talking about?
Think about it. Think about this. There were the mafia. This is a fact that the mafia was known for bribing three professions: the police, the judges, and the politicians. Guess what three professions are now controlling our lives?
Yes, exactly. The police, judges, and the politicians.
Right. And that's why it's so imperative that we run our lives.
Well, I've said a few times, organized crime never did go away. It didn't. It actually just left and went to Washington is all it did.
Yeah, and it's gone to state capitals, and it's right downtown. Yeah. It's whenever you let a few people control the money and the taxes and the rules of the game, they're always going to make the rules to benefit themselves. And that's what this is, and that's why the people need to start deciding the rules of the game. Not the politicians and not the judges and not the police, the people.
Yeah,
because we are the ones that haven't taken the bribes. All of the other professions have, and we don't really want them controlling our money or our laws, because these guys have sold their souls before.
Yes, they have. Do you think it'd actually be worth an effort to look into what the previous guest on the show, Kevin, has looked into in Canada, and what others are looking into here in America, the bringing back the common law jury or the grand jury, as it's called?
I think so. Just an unbiased group. You know, now you have like a service that actually picks the jury for you. You know, they're trying to stack the deck.
Yeah.
No, what you need is an unbiased group of people picked at random, and you let it, you know, we're supposed to be judged by a jury of our peers with a speedy trial, not what we have today. These things are going on for years, but you know, if the lawyers who benefit from it dragging on make the laws, they're going to make the laws to allow all that to happen. So the judicial system is totally corrupt now. The judges are in bed with the lawyers, and, once your judicial system is corrupt, you as a society are pretty screwed. And that's why we've got to quickly take it back, because the judicial system is there so that we can live in a civilized world where we don't go out and just take issues into our own hands. You know, if somebody does something bad to you, you don't just go get a gun like the Hatfields and McCoys, because it goes on forever and ever and ever. What you need is an unbiased group of people to hear the issue and ask the questions and make the decision, and that's it. And that's not what we have anymore. Now we have a bought and paid for system. Sort of like, remember payola years ago? I don't know if you're old enough to remember payola, but it was DJs were being hauled off to jail because they were taking bribes from, you know, record people to play certain records.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, it was nothing.
I didn't know what it was called, but yeah.
That's what it was. It was called payola. And all they've done in Washington and state capitals and downtown is they made payola legal.
Well, look at what the story down there in Nevada at the Bundy Ranch. Actually, what the news agencies aren't being reported on, and many of the alternate news isn't reported on also, is Harry Reid's son. I don't recall what his first name is now, but his son is a lobbyist for a Chinese company. They are actually trying to get that land for the mineral rights. And also it's a prime area for, well, this company happens to be a solar panel company. They want to, I don't know, start business up here in, out there in Nevada. That's probably, or supposedly the reason why all this is going on down there. Because
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, that's what all of this stuff is about. It's all based on greed. And you know, these 535 people are in a position to feed their political cronies, and this guy happens to be his son. They're doing it in state capitals, and they're doing it right downtown. I mean, you go downtown in South Bend, and you go into the commissioner's office, and the first person that you'll see is a girl by the name of Patty, who is the daughter of the commissioner. Now, that's who you're going to feed. You're going to feed your family. You're going to feed your friends, you know, your business buddies that are all feeding you. And
yeah,
it's not about the truth. It's about them just controlling our money. Our money is where our energy is. Think of all the energy it took to pay your taxes and to pay everybody's taxes. And when they accumulate that, you know, the city budget in South Bend is $350 million every year. That's a third of $1 billion. You know how much energy it took to create that amount of tax money?
Yeah.
It's
Why don't you explain to the listeners where you live and a little bit about your town or your city?
Yeah, I live in South Bend, Indiana. We're right at the University of Notre Dame, which I'm sure everybody in the world has heard of. It's the fifth wealthiest university in the world, and what they're presently doing is just basically taking over our city. The mayor here, both of his parents work at Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, you know, it just controls our city. It's taking all of the good pieces of our community out and leaving the garbage for the people. And this is just another example of these corporations using their wealth to bribe the decision makers to make sure that they get whatever they want, so the corporations get wealthier and the people go broke. And so that's what's going on in our community. And but like I said, we've got a good group of activists here, some really tough people that are coming together. And that's the trick. What you have to do is you have to come together. I've been an activist for 25 years. And one thing I've learned is that everybody's got their own issue. You know, it may be an education issue. It may be a judicial issue, a penal issue, whatever it is, environmental issue, tax issue. Whatever it is, and that's what people care about. But what people have to do is realize that you've got to put your issue aside, and you've got to put the tools in place so that instead of relying on the politicians to resolve your issue for you, which you will never, ever get resolved, you give your issue directly to the people and let the people talk about it with you and vote on it with you and implement it and get your issue resolved. That's what this technology now does. You know, it was said years ago that there will be a day where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That's what this does. Instead of nine goofballs on a city council dictating to 250,000 people in your community, 250,000 people can now tell those nine people where they want their tax monies to go, what taxes are fair and not fair, educational issues, environmental issues, whatever. They can now start telling those nine goofballs, and we can start really fixing our communities. And that's why we have this technology, and that's why I'm pushing it. The politicians aren't going to come up with this idea. They hate it. This is the worst thing they have ever heard, because if all of a sudden the people were making decisions for themselves, what do you need them for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I believe that's what they're afraid of. I think they're just smart enough to realize that, David. And maybe the 535 people over there in the District of Criminals, they kind of realize that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody, you know, the reason they're doing it is because everybody around them is doing it. You know, when they win an election, they're just doing what their predecessor did. And, you know, and they're getting paid, and they got their egos going and everything else. But, you know, those nine people are not the all-knowing. The all-knowing is what we all know. And the trick is tapping into what we all know. And that's what technology allows to happen in our community. Just think about how simple it is, man. You just, you know, you use your local public broadcasting station. You change the format, and it will be used to broadcast the public their ideas to make your community better, debate them so that people are educated on these issues, and then let people vote on them, build a community database. Your call will go in, be counted, prevented from voting more than once, and you can now have decisions made by you. And you can quit playing this political game where, well, I'm conservative, or I'm liberal, or I'm Democrat, or I'm Republican, or I'm independent. Just be yourself. You don't have to be any of those stupid things. Just be yourself, and you decide the issues that you're concerned with. And you don't, you know, politics, think about it. Poly, many, ticks, bloodsucker. Poly ticks, many bloodsuckers. That's who we have running our lives. That's why we have no blood left. Our money is our blood. They've stolen it. They pass laws that says your money is now my money, our money, and they're all getting a piece of the action, just like the mafia used to do. Mafia got a piece of all the action. You want to go fishing? Fine. You got to pay our piece of the action. You want to launch your boat? Fine. Whatever. You want to live in your house? Fine. Piece of the action. And all we're saying is, you know, we can do it the way they're doing it in the Middle East and get guns and things like that, but they're not going to solve the problem, because what they're going to do, unless they have a better system, is they're just going to rebuild the old system, put new people in power. Those new people will start screwing the public, and you'll start all over again.
Yeah.
But this way, everybody's equal. Everybody's got an equal voice. And the reason that people really like this is, it makes the most number of people happy. You know, when you've got a majority, you've got a minority on the vote. Has nothing to do with skin color, religion, any of that stupid stuff. It has to do with, these are the number of people that like it. These are the number of people that don't. We're going to make the most number of people happy.
Yeah, you know, David, you got that New York Goodfellow accent. Now I'm pretty good, you know.
Well, you know,
it'd be in your best interest to do what you're told, you know.
Well, the way I see it, there's 300 million of us. And if all of us start thinking the same thing at the same time, we've got them. You know, I thought that's what Perot, what was going to happen when Perot ran, you know, when he said, this was in, what, 91, I guess it was, technological town hall meeting system. And that's what I was pushing back then. And then, you know, he's a billionaire, so he got to be on Larry King Live, and he said technological town hall meeting system. And I thought he knew how to build it, but he was trying to build it from the top down by running for president. What you've got to do is you've got to build it from the ground up, community by community. And that's what this does. So anybody that voted for Perot or liked what he was saying should absolutely love what we're saying, because we know how to build a technological town hall meeting system for our country and every country, matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, the problem with, I think one of the problems with the top-down theory is when somebody at the top screws up, all they do is change the puppets or change the players. But
sure,
yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. You even at the lower level, things can be changed.
You know, that's how the bogus money system that we're all enslaved with really works. When you think about it, it's pretty simple. Rothschild said years ago that he said, I don't care who makes the laws. I just want to control the interest rates. Well, you know, when they got that right to do that back in 1913, all you've got to do is, if you control the interest rates, you control the money supply. If you control the money supply, you control the economy, because when there's plenty of cash, the economy's good. When there's not enough cash, like there is now, the economy's bad. So by controlling the interest rates, you control the economy. When you control the economy, you control the politicians, because, you know, if the economy's good, nobody votes their politicians out. They get to stay and keep doing what they're doing to us. And the politicians are the overseers that control we the people. And so it's all a top-down system, from starting from the money system. And, you know, whether you're talking about the head of the police department or the head of Child Protective Services or people on the city council, those are all top-down systems. And the way that you change it is you give the people a voice and you let them start turning those top-down systems upside down, and then all of a sudden it'll start to work.
Yes. You know what I found out, David, about the Federal Reserve System and the fiat currency system just recently here, too, that I didn't know. I thought I knew a lot of things, but it takes no more paper and no more ink to print $10 million in ones or $1 billion in one hundreds. It takes the same amount of ink, the same amount of paper. And the Federal Reserve charges $10,000 to print that. I'm sorry, not the Federal Reserve, but maybe it is the Fed.
The Mint, the U.S.
Yeah,
Mint.
The Mint. It charges $10,000 to print $1 billion or $10 million in ones.
And the Federal Reserve's never been audited. We don't even know if that money, where is that? There should be at least $17 trillion of actual paper money floating around here somewhere. I don't have any of it. I don't know where.
And neither do I.
And that's why there needs to be an audit, because they could say that they put that kind of money in circulation, but nobody knows. It's just a number transaction is all it is. Well, they could use numbers without ever using paper money.
They do. Sure. At the bank level. When you deposit $100 bill, they get to take $90 of that and loan it out at interest. And they just type on their keyboard and the money magically appears on a piece of paper and the bank gives it to you.
Yeah, they're just the money changers. That's all they are. Eh? If Jesus was here today, he'd chase them out. You know, and the politicians are too. You know, they're taking our money and they're changing it to, you know, the corporations. Yeah.
And you know what, David? The people would gather Jesus up and they would hand him over to the Romans again and say, here's the evil man that wants to shut you down and flog him and hang him up again.
Well, I believe that's because Jesus was basically a whistleblower. And back then in a corrupt system like it was, whistleblowers are put on the cross or, you know, put in jail or fired or whatever.
They kind of still are today.
Yeah, it's because we still have a corrupt system. Whenever you have a top-down system, usually you're going to have a corrupt system. But if it was a clean system, a good system that really was fair and honest, whistleblowers are looked at as heroes. So that's how we know that our system is corrupt. It's you know, whistleblowers are killed or thrown in prison, and the same thing that happened to Jesus.
Or they had to seek asylum in different countries or something, yeah.
Yeah, because it was a threat. But those people are trying to sell or provide information to make our lives better. And the system doesn't want that to happen because they need to keep doing what they're doing. The system works just fine for them.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Not for the people.
Yes, it does. So what kind of... what kind of support are you gaining at the local level?
We're gaining a lot of great support because everybody's hurting now. You know, when things are good, the people didn't want the system to change, but now that the system's not working for them,
now they're willing to listen, huh?
Yeah. But what we've got is in May 25th, we've got a march here against unfairness and police brutality and things like that, and then we're going to be presenting our plan. And on the 24th, we're going to Benton Harbor, Michigan, where they're having a rally, and we're supporting them, and they're coming here and supporting us. So we're all coming together to march. But you know, we wouldn't be marching if we didn't have a better plan. You know, there are a lot of people out there that just out there marching, and they're upset about the way things are, but they don't have a better plan. If you're going to be upset about something and you want change, you need to know what kind of change you want. And we have the plan for change. And let me share our website with your listeners. It's
certainly,
It's One Voice Now, O-N-E, voicenow.org. In fact, I'll type it on this right here.
You still in the chat room there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What'd you think of that chat room anyways?
Nice. Nice. Hey, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, Revolution Radio. It's it goes pretty quick though, doesn't it? I have trouble keeping up sometimes.
Oh yeah.
A bunch of nice people in there.
Well, it's all good. You know, hey, yeah. Information, we're trying to get information out there. You know, I started doing a radio program 25 years ago, and, you know, I was talking about NAFTA, and I was talking about Waco, and I was talking about Randy Weaver, and I was talking about technology and using it to, you know, get rid of these criminals that are running our country. And, hey, you know, I was just ahead of my time, but now, you know, hey, we're voting on American Idol. We vote on Dancing with the Stars. We vote on CNN, Fox, you know, so now when we say it, it's like, hey, yeah, we could do that. So, you know, it's time is catching up with the idea, and hopefully more and more people are going to be jumping on it. We hope.
Well, it just needs to be, people need to talk to people. I'm going to get with you after the show here, and maybe if we can start promoting, start doing something. I've got a laptop. I can do a show right somewhere. Okay, looks like I'm starting to lose you a little bit there, David. Whoops. No. I lost the losing somebody. Maybe it's the studio. Are you there, David? Okay. I got to get David back here. Lost him. Are you back now, David?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Your internet got a little wobbly there. Or maybe it was my internet. I don't know.
It's probably mine. Mine's always wobbly anymore. It's probably my computer. It's just an old computer, but I keep praying it keeps on working.
Huh. Not so sure. It could have been mine. Mm. Anyways, I just had a bunch of things just kind of go wacko on me. So, I don't know. The studio came back, and then you finally came back. But I can't get the chat room back, but oh well. We'll see here in a minute. But yeah, we've got about 10 minutes left. What else can we go on about? What else can we talk about?
Hey, go on about the fact that people need to stand up right now. You know, everybody's celebrating Easter. Jesus rose. And he stood up before he rose, and it's time for people to just stand up, whether they're going to rise or not. They need to stand up, and they need to say enough of this baloney. There's no way that 535 people in Washington, D.C. know more than 300 million people. The amount of intelligence they have is like comparing a grain of sand on the beach. It's we need some great ideas in our communities, in our country, because we have serious problems, and we can do this, but we can't keep, you know, relying on these politicians to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. Only we know what kind of world we really want to live in for ourselves and our family. So you start building that world that you want piece by piece. That's the name of my book, 300 Million Minds Changing America Piece by Piece. And we can do this, and we have the technology. Without this technology, our goose would be cooked. But right now, we've got this communication technology. Everybody's got access to it. Hey, you got a TV? Yeah. You got a touch-tone phone? Yeah. Well, why don't you just watch issues over the TV and vote by phone? I don't think we can make it any easier. Man, if you're a quadriplegic, you can participate. If you're blind, you can participate. If you can't speak English, you can participate. Everybody can participate. But what we need is a local issues television and radio channel, and you, the people, start presenting your ideas to make the community better. And you, the people, start voting on these ideas and take ownership of your community.
Yeah, I think the problem might have been on my end because I just got the chat back. I just got my live stream channel back, and I don't know, something went wacko on me. But Rick says hi. You remember Rick, right?
Yeah, Rick's the greatest. Hey, Rick, how you doing, buddy?
He's still listening right now. He said it's been a great show, and it has been. Kevin's doing a lot of good things out there, up in Canada and over in Holland right now. Hopefully he'll have a safe trip home and be able to do some more corruption fighting down here in the States and up there in Canada. And although he is a marked man, so I would be a little leery about flying over there with his reputation preceding him.
You know, Steve, when you're talking, I'm just thinking, you know, a civilized society, the way they resolve issues is they raise issues, they debate them, and they vote on them. That's the way a civilized society handles their issues. We aren't doing that. We might be going through the motions in, you know, in Washington or state capitals or downtown, but we the people really aren't doing it. And that's what we've got to do now. We've got to start raising issues, debating them, voting on them. There are people out in our country, in our world right now, in our communities that have ideas that can fix these problems. But you got to remember, politicians don't take bribe money to render right answers. They always take bribe money to render wrong answers. And that's why we're living in a world where what's right is wrong and wrong is right.
Well, you know, right for them.
We represent them. They don't represent us.
Yes.
And it's all backwards. And that's why we need to use this technology. And we've got to really start to, you know, do what was said 2,000 years ago. Seek the truth. It'll make you free. And that's what this will allow to happen.
Yeah, the truth will set you free, but it will piss you off first, won't it?
I've lost a lot of friends being an activist, I'll tell you. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear that things are bad.
Well,
because the old system was working just fine.
Yes, it was. Them. Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. That's what, you know, I've also been finding here too. I'm not sure what the statistics are, but, for every two or three people that, we seem to wake up, one of them wants to get into the system and take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, the system is just, it's just stupid. It really is. I mean, relying on Washington to do the things in your community that you, the people, should be doing yourself is just ridiculous. And relying on a state capital 135 miles away to do the things in your community that you guys could be doing yourself is just silly. And letting 9 people out of 90,000 people spend $350 million a year of your money without asking you on things that you don't believe in is just stupid. And that's why we need a system that's no longer stupid. That's why technology is, it's really an amazing thing, and it's dropped into our laps. And that's why we've got to take advantage of it. And I think we've got a good plan. If somebody else has a better plan, I'm with them. But right now, I don't think you can make it any easier than, hey, you got a TV? Hey, you got a touchstone phone? Let's go.
Yes, exactly. I was just kind of typing here to Rick, asking him something. But, yeah, we've only got about 3 minutes left. What do you think? Besides the computer system, what else do you think it's going to take, David?
Well, I don't know. I mean, things are happening. You know, we had this crazy winter. We've got these storms. We've got earthquakes. We've got, you know, things in Yellowstone happening. There's a lot of natural disasters that are sort of shaking people up and waking them up. But even as much as natural disasters, we're dealing with these, you know, these goofballs in Russia and America and China and Israel and all, you know, these leaders of these countries around the world are just, you know, how can we even come close to calling ourselves a democracy when you have, you know, these people dictating to the masses? It's not even close. And I think people are waking up. That's the first thing. And, You know, now that they're awake, I think they're going to hop behind a plan and get busy with us.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think a lot of us, well, there's, I don't know, like 300 million people here in America that are on Facebook. I think a lot of them need to close their computers and get out and do a little bit of activism. I know that's what I'm going to be doing. I've, like I mentioned, I have a laptop now, and I can do a show out there on the road. I got a microphone and a laptop. I can do a live remote somewhere, so we need to set something up, David.
Yeah, let's do it, man. I just believe in the people. That's what I believe in. I think that two heads are better than one, and I think, you know, 200 million heads are better than 535. And if we can just get everybody thinking the same thing at the same time, the fix is not in Washington. The fix is not in state capitals. The fix is in your community, and the technology is there, and take a hold of it, man. If you want to take your community back, you take it back starting right in your community. Don't wait for people in Washington or state capitals to fix your community. They don't care about you. All they want is your money. You're sending them your money. You ain't getting it back. It's that simple. It's a multi-level marketing pyramid scam. So that's what I think.
Indeed it is. And technically, people don't even know it. Even if they get a receipt for putting money in their bank account, they have still technically given that money to the bank, and the bank can do whatever they please with it. They can keep it, or they can burn it, throw it away, give it away, do whatever they want. So there's the music, David. I thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, good to be with you, Steve. Thanks for all the great work you're doing.
Oh, yes. Thank you, everybody, at Revolution Radio. I'll see everybody next week. New guest, I'm Stephen Roberts. This is Can't Slip the Ball. Goodbye, everybody.